Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
I don't know of any video that better summarizes up motherhood than that right there. From the day they come into the world until the last day, it is all about showing them love and grace far beyond than anything we could ever ask or deserve. And so because of that, we want to say Happy Mother's Day and thank you for all that you do and have done for us in our life. You can give it up for that. Yeah, that's worth a clap. Now, biblically speaking, every day ought to be Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? I mean, it really should. Now, the way that you're treated on Mother's Day really ought to be how you're treated every day of the year. The way that you're treated on Father's Day ought to be how you're treated every day of the year. At least according to Scripture. It says in the Scriptures that we are to honor your mother and father. Not just one day a year when it's their special day and Hallmark says so, but rather to honor your mother and father. It says, so it's the first commandment that comes with a promise, so that it may go well with you and enjoy a long life on earth. And I think the reason why we have to have a day for it is because we are not an honor society. We are not a culture of honor. There are many countries around the world that would be considered an honor culture or an honor society, that their whole society and culture is based on honor. America is not one of them. So much so that even when the gospel is taught, when some of the parables in Scripture are taught, they're actually taught very differently around the world based on the kind of culture society that they're taught in. When the parable of the prodigal son is taught in Asia, it is typically taught, when we teach it, we're America. We care about justice. The American justice system kind of reigns supreme, and so when the prodigal son is taught in America, Luke 15, it is taught that the first son went out and did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. He felt very guilty for what he did. He had to go back and apologize to his dad, and there was a wrongness about what he did, and so he had to go and make up for it, and so he comes back in. And then the older brother is mad because the younger brother was shown grace, and grace goes against the whole nature of justice. And now this older brother is out there, not sure if he can show the kind of same grace in the spite of all the injustices that have been done in the family. That's the way we teach it. In other cultures, they teach it about how the great travesty, the horror of the story, was the dishonor that the younger son showed towards the father, basically saying, I wish you were dead, give me your money now. And went out and dishonored, all to the point of the ultimate dishonor was him there before pigs. That's where his dishonor left him. And then he comes back in and, you know, humbles himself before his father, and his father then bestows back upon him the family honor. And then now you have the older brother who is showing dishonor to the father's choice by remaining outside of the home. So it's very interesting how different cultures will teach parables like that based on sort of the norms of society and the way that they view and depict honor. Because we're not an honor society, we don't really talk much about honor. We rather use the word respect. Because respect has a sense of justice to it, right? You either deserve respect or you don't deserve respect. You've either done something that is worthy of it and it justly deserves respect, or you've done things that justly deserved no respect or the absence of respect. And so we're all about respect in America. We sing songs about respect, which is how we know how to spell respect in the first place, right? Of course, everybody knows those. We get in fights over respect. We have the sense that I won't respect you if you don't respect me. So that's just kind of like a part of something we almost teach. It's almost sort of ingrained in American culture. We think about who's worthy of respect or not worthy of respect, or we get mad when we've been shown some sense of disrespect, or we feel like as if there's been some implying of disrespect. We won't give it until we feel it's first been shown to us. And so that's kind of what respect is all about in our society. Honor, however, is a completely different thing altogether. We think they're synonyms in America, and we use them as synonyms. They're really not synonyms at all. And I want to hopefully get into that so we can understand what honor is. The root of the word honor from the biblical terms was to that which has weight, the weightiness of something. And if you think about something when you're putting it on scales, the heavier it is, the greater weight it is, the greater value it has. So if you have gold, the more weight that gold has, the more value it has. And so it was used as a term to be of value or worth to somebody. In other words, what is this person worth to you? What value do they have to you? Which is very different, if you think about it, than our term respect, right? Because respect is about what you've done, about what you've earned, if you will. Whereas gold hasn't earned anything for me. It just has intrinsic value to me. It's because it's what I value, what I place value on. And of course, values can change depending on how I feel about it. There are things that you might value and place great worth on that I don't place great value or worth on. So it's about the person and what they value and the weight that they give to something, the importance that they place on it. And so value is about me. It is not about you. And that's a very big distinction when it comes to thinking about respect versus honor. That respect is often about what the person has done, whereas honor is about me and how I see somebody or how I treat somebody. One of the best examples of this is when you have Noah, shortly after the flood, and Noah builds an ark, and they make it through, and he saves humanity from this great travesty that happens on the earth. And shortly after that, it picks up in Genesis chapter 9, and it says that Noah was a man of the soil, and he went and planted a vineyard. So pretty much he gets off the boat, and he says, you know, it's time to plant, because I think everything's been wiped out. So he plants shortly after the harvest. It says, when he had drank some of the wine of the harvest, he became drunk, and he laid naked inside his tent. I'm not even going to make the joke about Tijuana here, so I'm going to move on. Ham, who was the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness, and he told his two brothers outside. The picture of the text is he's kind of laughing, he's snickering, he's pointing fingers, he's going and spreading rumors, gossip, making fun of his father in this moment. But Shem and Jephthah, who were his other two sons, they took a garment, and it says they laid it across their shoulders, and they walked backwards into the father's tent to cover up his nakedness without turning around. All right, so why did they do that? They did it so the father could wake up and have some sense of dignity about him, right? They did it so when the father woke up, he didn't have a, you know, Sharpie written on his face that said something or anything like that. If it was just Shem, that's probably exactly what would have happened. If a Sharpie had been invented, he would have done something, maybe gotten some mud written on his face and made fun of him. But his two older brothers said, no, that is not the way to treat our father. Now, let's review a couple things here. In that moment, was Noah worthy of respect? Okay, this isn't a trick question. Let me ask a select few people in the crowd. If you've had an alcoholic in your family, is what Noah was doing at that time worthy of respect? No. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. There's some who understand that is not a respectful moment, all right? It is not the living the high life. It is not the good life. When you are drunk, passed out, naked in your tent, there's nothing respectful about that. There's nothing to celebrate about that, okay? There's nothing to celebrate about such a thing. So you could easily make an argument that Shem and what he was doing was only fair, was only right. I mean, he's not respecting himself. Why should I respect him? But you see, his two other brothers had a different view of this whole situation, that it's not about whether or not he deserves respect in this moment. It's about whether or not we are going to honor our father. Because honor is about me. It's what I've been told to do. See, now, it's different to say, be respectable. That command shows up in different places, but that's not what this is about. This is about you showing honor. And honor means what weight, what value do I place on my father and his role in my life and the position that he has? And because of that, the honorable thing is to allow him to wake up with whatever shred of dignity is left. And so that when he wakes up, he'll, you know, say, what happened last night? And just simply say, Dad, you had a rough night. And that's a way of showing them honor. Not respect. Very, very different between respect and honor. And so honor is to add weight to something or to give something a sense of value about it. Now, the opposite of honor we often think is, the opposite of honor, textbook definition is dishonor. No, that's really not a good definition of the opposite of honor. A better definition for the opposite of honor is to treat something as common, ordinary. See, you either honor or you treat it as common. I've often talked in the past about how, for me, this always think about shoes. I have shoes that I hold great honor. They have great value to me. They are made in the name of a very famous basketball player. They cost over $100 each, almost $200. I don't really want to say how much in case my wife is listening. They're very expensive. Then again, she's got expensive shoes too. And I always wondered, like, why do women keep the shoes in the box? Okay, I don't worry. Now that I have some Jordans, I understand, because those are still in the original box. Why? And when you pay that much for a pair of shoes, you don't just throw them underneath the bed, right? You don't just throw them out, you know, where the dog might get them, right? You don't just treat them as common. You have a certain honor about them. You treat them as valuable or of weight or of worth. Now, if you think about this and another illustration from the scriptures, if you go over to Mark chapter 6, you have this moment where Jesus returns back to his hometown. Now, Jesus has kind of already gone public. He's performed some miracles. He's been teaching. Crowds are following after him. So much so that people literally, in following Jesus, forget to bring food with them. They don't even care. They don't care about their own safety, their own health, anything. They just want to hear what he has to say, and they gather in large numbers around him. And they are in awe and amazed about him. And so he then returns back to his hometown, and he teaches in the synagogue. And here's the response. Where'd this man get all this stuff from? What's this wisdom he's been given? What kind of remarkable miracles is he out performing? Isn't this just the carpenter? Isn't he Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And it says they took offense at him. Then Jesus turned and said, a prophet is not without, anybody? Honor. Okay, you've read this passage, right? A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and among his own relatives in his own home. What was their issue? To them, Jesus was just common. He was familiar. He was around so much there didn't seem to be anything special about him. Like, hey, don't remember this kid growing up? I know this kid. He built my shed. You mean to tell me the guy who built my shed and built your fence is the Messiah? Yeah, whatever, man. He's just another old carpenter. He's just another one of the boys. See, he was just too common to them for them to see him as anything else other than that. And it kind of reminds me of a quote from Edwin Meese, who was the attorney general. He says, to be an expert, all you have to do is travel more than 50 miles away from your home, have no responsibility for implementing the device or the advice you give, and show a bunch of slides. And it still kind of holds true today. I know a lot of pastors who are almost disrespected by their own congregations, yet they'll go and they'll travel somewhere else, and all of a sudden they're full of all this great wisdom, and people want to come listen to what they have to say. Not you all. You all have done a wonderful job of showing honor and respect, and I appreciate that. Moving on. But the point is, so often we look at our parents as more common than extraordinary, more common than the great value or worth that they have. And the thing about your parents, you may just look at them as just common. They're just, you know, a regular dad, a regular mom. There's nothing really all that special about them. What's so big about them? They're just a mom, just a dad. The thing about it is, there's something very unique about them that you often overlook. While you may see them as common, and while other people may see them as common, there's something very unique about them and very uncommon about them, especially in your life. Number one is, they probably have a lot of life experiences that you don't have simply because they've been where you've been. They've done the kind of things that you've done. They've made those mistakes. They've gone through the schooling. They've gotten married. They've had relationships. They've had their heart broken. They've had jobs. They've lost jobs. They've had ups and they've had downs. And they really do have a lot to offer when it comes to helping you navigate the stages of life that you haven't experienced and know very little about. But you might say a lot of people have that knowledge. Yeah, but the second piece is what makes them so honorable in your life, so worthy of honor, so valuable to you. Few people, if anybody, knows you as well as they do. I mean, after all, your mama's known you since day one, right? She knows you. She knows where you came from. She knows what your genes are all about. She probably knows what you're thinking before you even think it. And so she knows a lot about you. She knows how you were raised. She knows the environment which you were raised in. She knows where you came from. She knows what you value and what you don't value. She knows what you like and what you don't like. She knows what's going to break your heart and what's not going to break your heart. And then even beyond that, she has a love for you that few people will ever have for you. She has the ability to show grace regardless of whatever it is that you've done in your life, which I think was illustrated very well by that video there. You know, grace is what can have mommy look at it and say, I've loved every moment of it. So there's this grace and there's this love that showered over you. I remember my parents once told me, it says, whenever you find somebody who loves and cares about you as deeply and as much as we do, marry that person. because you will be hard-pressed to ever find somebody who loves you like we do. That's not common. That's not something you find out there every day. It's very uncommon to find somebody who really cares about your value, your worth, and your future, and who's willing to invest in you and to sacrifice for you. And so when you put all of that together, this common everyday old mom or dad that you were thinking about, let's face it, it's a very uncommon person in your life, are they not? And so therefore, they very well should be honored above all. Even if there was no command, they should be honored just for who they are in your life. I remember a friend of mine growing up came to school one day and was like, I feel like an idiot. I'm like, why? I was like, well, you know, I was going out for the baseball team, and you know, my dad was trying to give me some pointers and whatnot. And I was like, you know, kind of blew him off a little bit. And then later on, my mom told me that he went to college on a baseball scholarship. Like, I didn't know. You know, it's just kind of funny. That's the way it is. You just think that, you know, what does dad know? I mean, he's kind of dumb. He doesn't know anything. I know more than he knows. You know, I know more than mom would know about this. And they always say, isn't it amazing how much your parents seem to learn somewhere between the ages of 15 and 35? They've had it all along. You just didn't hold any weight to their knowledge and to their unique combination of love and knowledge that they have over you. And so even if there wasn't a command to honor them, you should have a sense of honor to them for the unique position they hold in your life, for the unique combination they have of both knowledge and wisdom and connection and love over your life, unlike anybody else has ever had. At the very least, they sacrifice to bring you into the world. Next of all, I want to say about this is when the scriptures say, honor your mother and father, is that command for the children or for the parents? Children, right? But there's a problem here. My 5, 6, 7-year-olds didn't just crack open the book and go, huh, I'm supposed to honor you. I didn't realize that. I'll get right on it. It's not something they're just going to read on their own and start doing. It's in there because we as adults are to teach this to our children. We're to instill this. Honor is taught. Honor is caught. Honor is something you show and you display before your kids. Honor is something you teach and instill in your children. They're not just going to pick it up naturally. Very clearly in our society today, honor does not come naturally. Is that agreeable? Honor does not come naturally. You have to teach people to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. You have to teach people to stand for the national anthem. You teach people to show honor to those who have sacrificed for you. And I've heard some people disrespect military and say, well, not like they were out on the front lines. Here's the deal. You don't get this. If they were asked, they'd have gone. The only reason why they weren't is because Uncle Sam didn't ask. But they went to Uncle Sam and said, wherever you want to send me, me and my entire family will go. And if you want to put me in harm's way, I'm willing to go there and I'm willing to take the bullet. Whether or not that's ever asked is completely irrelevant. There should be a sense of honor just for the very fact that they have sacrificed so much of their life simply so you never have to. And if that's not taught, then you have a country who doesn't care and completely disrespects and completely ignores what it is our military's done for us. We agree on that? Think about how we treat our police officers in this country. Yes, there are lots of injustices, and yes, you can run down the litany of all of the things that police officers have done wrong. I get frustrated at the police, too. I'm not going to get into all that. But you still need to honor those who've sacrificed their life for you. All of your first responders, they have sacrificed their life, their sleep, their time, their freedom, simply so that they can be there for you to protect you and keep you safe. And in the same way, you could look at your parents and say, you know, well, I've got a laundry list of things I don't like about. You know, you could have that list for anybody on the list of people we should show honor to. But once again, it's not respect. I'm not asking you to respect. That's not what God didn't say to respect them. He said to honor them. And honor is not about what they've done. It's about me. It's about who I am. And it's about how I see the world and how I see someone's contribution or someone's value to me or to society. Same with the president. You should always honor the president, period. You know, with me and my kids, we have prayed for President Bush. We have prayed for President Obama. We have prayed for President Trump. And I don't ever want them to ever hear me disrespecting a president, whether I agree or disagree with their politics. We will not dishonor the office, period. We will not dishonor the person who holds the office. But you think about our country and how we foster dishonor in the home. Is it any wonder that there's zero honor shown in public? It's not. That's why he says any society who doesn't have honor in the home is going to have problems. That's why he says it's the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. We are in trouble as a country because we don't show honor. When he says it's the first of the commandments, you know, if you didn't figure this out yet, this is one of the actual 10 commandments. Isn't it kind of interesting that in the list of the 10 most important things God has to say to humanity, one of them is honor your father and mother? I think that's kind of interesting if you think about it. I mean, you know, do not kill. That definitely should make the list. You know, don't steal. Don't lie. That you could picture all those things being in there. But one of them is how you treat your parents. Is that important to life and society? Now, if you look back at the Ten Commandments, they're all about honor. First to last, they all have to do with honor. The first several deal with honoring God, right? You should put God first. He should be the most honored entity in your life. The most honored being in all of the universe, that you should show honor to God. There should be nothing else before God. Don't ever dishonor his name. Don't dishonor who he is by trying to make some image that sort of summarizes everything about him, because it's just impossible to do that. You need to take some time off every week to show honor to God and reverence for what he's given you, and look back with thankfulness and how he's blessed you in your life. And then you need to reflect that honor you have of God by the primary authority God's placed in your life, and that is your mother and your father. And so that the honor and the way that you treat God begins at home, and then it spills out into society, that you should honor people's lives, you should honor people's marriages, you should honor people's possessions, you should honor their integrity. And above all, it's about how you think about all these things, so watch what it is that you're thinking about, because if you have dishonoring thoughts, it's going to lead to a breaking of all the other commandments that we just mentioned. That's a summary of the entire Ten Commandments. It's all about honor from beginning to end. And so we should be people who honor. And so what does it look like to honor? What's involved in this? Well, number one, I want to begin just by going back and saying, it's not respect. Honor is about you. And so honor does not mean that you are making yourself vulnerable to be hurt again. For some of you, to show honor to your parents, when you think about that, you have a hard time because of how they've hurt you, the things that they've done, how they've mistreated, how that mistreatment has continued on into your adult years. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have boundaries. There's some great books on boundaries written by Henry Cloud and Townsend. And they've written a boundaries book for whatever your stage of life is. They've got a boundary book for you. Whether you're single or married, have a dog, don't have a dog. They have, like, you know, everything specialized for boundaries. So you can kind of read about your own life situation in one of those boundary books. They've been very helpful for me to know, okay, how can I show my parents honor yet still have boundaries there? Because, I mean, one of the other commands of God is you must leave your mother and father and be joined with your spouse. And so I have my primary responsibility is to my own nuclear family that I now have, but that does not absolve me from the responsibility to show honor. So I need to show honor in so much that it does not dishonor my own nuclear family. Does that make sense? And so we need to continue to show honor. So what's that look like? It means that we're always looking out for their dignity, their worth, and what is in their best interest. You always should have that in mind. As long as your parents are alive, you should always care about their best interest and what happens in their life. What else does it look like? It means that you forgive them for the things they've done wrong. See, here's the thing. The closer somebody is to your life, the harder it is to forgive. Two reasons. One, their sins have directly impacted you more. And second of all, you know about more of their sins than anybody else would know. Right? See, it's easier, much easier for me to forgive some kid I went to high school with. Right? Calls me up, hey man, I'm sorry for what I did in high school. Oh yeah, no problem. I don't even know who you are anymore. Right, whatever. It's a lot harder with parents, because especially in our justice culture, we've kept a running tally, a lot of us have, right? And we can list out things that have been said to us, things where they dropped the ball on it, where they fell short. Oh God, please, please, please don't let my children hold me to such a standard. Please let my children show me far more grace than I've shown my own parents. One of the best ways that you can honor your parents is to forgive them for things they did both when you were a child and for things they've done as an adult. And you may be frustrated. I can't show them honor after, you know, the way, you know, my mom treated my dad or my dad treated my mom, blah, blah, blah. No. That's respect. And we're not talking about respect. We're talking about honor. And honor is about who you are. because of what Christ has done in your life. And forgiveness is always about how Christ has forgiven me. And so that's the kind of forgiveness that I show towards somebody else. Another thing about honor is we need to acknowledge the sacrifices that they've made. That's another reason why I showed that opening video. Is there have been sacrifices your parents have made. Even the worst of parents have sacrificed for their children. Their body, their time. I remember when I was a kid, my dad was a doctor. And so when we would go do something fun on a Saturday, like go to a gun show or to some whatever thing was in town, we'd often have to go to the hospital. He'd have to go make rounds to go visit patients, because if you're in the hospital, you usually want to see the doctor every day, right? And so he would go in to see his patients, and I would just kind of hang out in the lobby, waiting room, whatever, and then we'd leave. Well, the fun part about it was we would usually go to three different hospitals, and of course, he got to park in the doctor's parking lot. Now, I loved exotic cars. And if you want to find exotic cars in any city in the world, go to the doctor's parking lot at the hospital, and you're bound to find some really nice beauties. And so I always loved to go there to check out and see what was in the parking lot. Now, keep in mind, my dad's also a doctor, and we was rolling up in a Honda Accord. Not the coupe, the four-door sedan. Didn't even have a spoiler on it, right? This was just the standard, low-budget, basic Accord. You could be anything and buy an Accord. It's the every guy's car. And I'd be looking around at Porsche, and even like my dad's partner had a Porsche. I'm like, you guys are partners. 50-50. Porsche, Accord. What gives, right? So I had all these posters in my room. And so one night I finally asked my dad after making these trips, I was like, Dad, how come we don't got a Porsche? And he says, if I didn't have you, I could afford two. I did not realize how true that statement was. And I even wanted to argue the finances of it back then. But now that I realize that my son's straight teeth is a car payment. What you pay for camp is a car payment. You start adding up all of the car payments and all of the back-to-school clothes and all of the supplies and all of the equipment and all of the furniture and all of the things that it costs for a child, and wow, that is one exotic fine car. But I wouldn't trade all the cars in the world for the joy and the pleasure and the satisfaction I get out of my children, and neither would your parents. And so if for no other reason to honor them for the sacrifice that they've made in your life. And so as you think through, and maybe sometime what you need to do is to, I know one of the authors I was reading through, I think it was Dennis Rainey, talks about writing a tribute to your parents. And this is sort of, what we've been talking this morning, if you've been filled with this sense of gratitude or thankfulness for maybe what your parents have done or invested in your life, spend some time one day to write it out and say, I love you because you're my mom. I forgive you for the things you messed up on, because you're my mom. But here is why I'm thankful that you're my mom. And list out all the things and the sacrifices they've made and how they've been good to you and the good stuff that they've done. Because chances are you've probably festered and focused a lot more on the negatives over the years, because for some reason a lot of times those stick, and you've taken for granted so much of the good. You've treated it as common. You've forgotten all the ways that they've invested in you. One of the things you can put in the tribute list is, what are some of the positive characteristics or benefits you've had in your life simply because it's a reflection of who they are? What are some of the best traits of them that is now reflected in your life? Maybe it's financial management. Maybe it's in discernment. Maybe it's in job skills or life skills. I know for me, I can fix or build just about anything simply because that was something my dad instilled in me. I can even cook sometimes because of my mom's investment in me. I can bargain and haggle because of my mom's investment in me. She never wanted to be taken advantage of. So what are some of the positive things that your parents have instilled in you that you've benefited from? These are some of the things you can write to them in a tribute and say, here's what it is that I'm thankful for because you're my mom. We join with you as we pray. Father, I just do want to thank you for placing us within a family. And I know in the modern definition of family, that has a lot of pictures and definitions and shapes. but each of us have had a mother figure somewhere along the way. We thank you, Father, that you've placed us within such a context to learn and to grow, to be nurtured and to be cared for, to be shown grace. So, Father, may we show them honor. And part of the reflection of the honor that we show you and for the institutions that you've placed in our life, but also, Father, because of the great weight and value that we should have or show for them. So may we be, Father, not just people of justice, of right and wrong, but people of honor as well. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.